The real story in the NFL this year has been about what's happening off the field of play.
Right.
You know, with the anthem protests and Donald Trump taking runs at different players and different owners and the commissioner. And
Jones involved. Like, yeah, it is.
Now it's all about Jerry Jones taking on Roger Goodell.
Makes Deflategate look like child's play.
Who wins that battle?
Well, I think we got a guy on the line who's probably got the best answer for that.
Yes.
Here is Don Van Natta Jr. of ESPN, the magazine. He was a big part of that piece that came out last week that had everyone talking.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Jones, Roger Goodell, the history between these two, what's going on right now and where it's going to go. And he joins us here on Overdrive. How you doing, Don?
Doing great, Brian. How are you?
We're doing really well. So I guess we'll begin with the power struggle here. I mean, who has more power, in your opinion, in the NFL? Is it Jerry Jones or Roger Goodell?
Well, Roger Goodell has the most power probably of anybody in American sports, and that's something that really bothers Jerry Jones. You know, we've seen in the last few years with the Rams moving to L.A., the Raiders moving to Vegas, a lot of behind-the-scenes muscling by Jerry Jones of those two franchises, and he got his way in a lot of ways at these NFL meetings. But Jerry Jones feels as if the power has shifted far too much to Roger Goodell and away from the owners and especially him. And I think that's the basis for this battle that we're seeing playing out in the NFL right now.
And as much as I'm not a big fan of Jerry Jones, I can't understand where he might be disappointed. He is supposed to be employing Roger Goodell. Now, that doesn't mean he can do whatever he wants. He's in a community of 32. I mean, there's 32 different owners. But this does seem like a pretty drastic shift where, to your point, Don, it feels like Roger Goodell, the commissioner, the employee, is the one that can pull the strings. Meanwhile, the owners who are paying him maybe don't necessarily feel like they have the power they deserve at this point.
Yeah, and something really interesting has happened over the last few years. You know, we've had all these missteps by Roger Goodell on these disciplinary cases. It started with Ray Rice. It actually started with Bountygate with the Saints. If you remember, Paul Tagliabue, the former commissioner, the person who Roger Goodell took his place, had to come in and overturn those Goodell punishments against those Saints players for overreaching. Then we had the Ray Rice domestic violence case, that elevator video at that Atlantic City casino, horrible headlines all through the fall of 2014. And if you remember those awkward press conferences by Roger Goodell where he'd stand up and say, we're going to do better. It was as if he was learning on the job, a job that was paying him $30, $35, $40 million a year. Every time he would say that and do that, more people were being hired into the NFL league office on Park Avenue in New York City. And in a way, these screw-ups were allowing Goodell to consolidate his power because that office got bigger. There was literally a disciplinary wing of the NFL now with these two former prosecutors, Lisa Friel and Kia Roberts, that have been hired, who worked on the Ezekiel Elliott case. And so there was a shift, a power shift through the mistakes of Roger Goodell. He was consolidating power and actually making it impossible even for owners who might be inclined to replace him with this next contract, like Jerry Jones and Dan Snyder and some of the others, because they're, despite the office getting bigger, there wasn't a very deep bench in that office. So it's been a really fascinating behind-the-scenes evolution of power. And I know for a fact Jerry Jones has complained to a number of owners in the NFL that he feels as an owner, despite him muscling those franchises, as I said earlier, he feels he's a suggester. He only gets to suggest things to Roger Goodell, who has the final word on all these things from player discipline to many other business issues in the NFL.
How many of those complaints were being heard before Ezekiel Elliott was suspended?
That's the great question. So the Ezekiel Elliott case is clearly the tipping point for Jerry Jones. I mean, a lot of this has to do with Roger Goodell's mammoth contract. He has paid a lot of money. That rubs a lot of owners the wrong way. Even owners who are generally supportive of his performance feel as if they're paying him too much money. This power shift, as I discussed, was bothering Jones, but it really came to a head in the way the Ezekiel Elliott case was handled by Roger Goodell and by the league office. You know, Jerry Jones thought back in May that Roger Goodell told him that Elliott was free and clear. That was the impression that Jerry Jones had from a conversation he had in May, about the middle of May, early May of this year with Roger Goodell. And interestingly, just a couple weeks after that, at a league meeting in Chicago, all 32 owners unanimously voted for Roger Goodell's contract to be extended. And one of the fascinating things about that happened on that day is there wasn't 1 minute devoted among all those owners to Roger Goodell's job performance. They had never had a discussion about it. They just voted to extend the contract and gave this compensation committee the right to do that. And it turns out a few months later, when Goodell calls Jerry Jones just 2 days before the announcement of the Ezekiel Elliott 6-game suspension to tell him that his star running back is going to be suspended, you know, as we reported in our piece at the top of our story on Friday, Jerry Jones goes nuts. He feels it's a betrayal by the commissioner, and Jerry Jones tells Roger Goodell, I'm going to come after you with everything I have. So the Ezekiel Elliott case is clearly a tipping point in the relationship between Jerry Jones and Roger Goodell.
We're chatting with Don Van Natta Jr. of ESPN The Magazine on the ongoing feud between Jerry Jones and Roger Goodell and the soap opera that is the NFL right now.
We were talking the other day, what type of leverage does Goodell have? Like, he's asking for, it seems like, the world, because financially, I mean, $40-plus million.
I don't know if he's going to... 50 now.
Okay, let's just say 50.
$50 million in a private plane, allegedly.
But where's he going to get that any other place in the world? So, like, how does he have this type of leverage over the owners?
It's a great question. He has all the leverage, by the way, interestingly. Even though nobody else probably in the world would pay Roger Goodell that kind of money, when the owners in Chicago in May voted unanimously 32-0 to extend his contract, they gave him at that moment an immense amount of leverage. And, you know, they've already been paying him in the last 5 years. This is something that not a lot of people have realized. $42 million. So that $50 million salary, or it was actually $49 million salary that he asked for in August, was a $7 million raise in a total compensation package for what he's been paid over the last 5 years. But here's the key part of the leverage, besides what they did in May. It's the fact that there really is no successor. You've had a number of owners grumbling about Goodell since 2014 and the handling of that Ray Rice disciplinary debacle, to say, who are we going to get? Who is there? There's no bench at all on Park Avenue, despite all these high-paid, seven-figure salary people that have been brought in to fix all these mishaps and mistakes, many of them by Goodell. There's nobody there who's a natural successor. And then you look outside, and the worry among some of the owners is they don't have the institutional knowledge that Goodell has. Goodell's been a NFL lifer. He's worked for the NFL for 36 years. It's the only job he's ever had. And so, really, the leverage he has is there's nobody else. There's not a natural successor. Now, I wouldn't be surprised, guys, if what we see is he re-signs in the next month. You know, the meeting next month in Dallas is very important, interestingly, in Jerry Jones's backyard. And I wouldn't be surprised if next year, maybe the following year, you hear about a committee being set up among the owners for a search, which at that moment will make Roger Goodell kind of a lame duck, and they'll begin this long process to look outside for a successor to Goodell after his contract extension ends.
How much of the concern from the owners do you believe is that Goodell knows where the bodies are buried, and if he leaves, it could be open season in terms of him discussing publicly what happens behind the scenes with these owners in this league?
Well, that's a very cynical suspicion, but you know, not an entirely misplaced one. You know, there have been a lot of bodies buried. There have been a lot of scandals. There's been a lot of certainly a lot of stuff that we've been covering, you know, at ESPN and that the media's covered. Look, just the concussions issue alone, and the cover up and the denial that occurred all through the Goodell era, even predating Goodell when Tagliabue was the commissioner, is an area that Goodell has an encyclopedic knowledge of. So that's certainly an interesting question. But I think from the owners, to be fair to Goodell for a moment on this point, I think the owners, particularly Arthur Blank and John Mara, Rooney, some of the other owners that are pro-Goodell and want this extension to be signed, they see him as somebody who's helped put a lot of money in their pockets. The annual revenue of the NFL in 2007 was $6 billion. It's now pushing $15 billion in just 10 years. That's pretty remarkable. Now, of course, the argument would be, well, how much did Roger Goodell really have to do with that? But the CBA in 2011 with the players, the collective bargaining agreement, is something that the owners really love, and I think they felt they got the upper hand on the players, and I think by all metrics they did. And right now we're coming into a very important 3 or 4 years for the NFL. The CBA expires in 2021. That has to be negotiated, a new deal with the players. And also the broadcast deals, the very lucrative broadcast deals are coming up at a time when ratings are down and, you know, the streaming option is one that's on the table. So, again, I think it's trust the devil we know more than the devil we don't know.
Well, this is not the first public or private battle Goodell has had recently with a prominent owner. We know what happened with Robert Kraft and the Pats and Deflategate. And it probably didn't hurt that they ended up going to a Super Bowl and winning a Super Bowl to kind of bring those two sides back together, at least Kraft and Goodell embracing each other once again. I'm curious, Don, I mean, is that even possible, considering what has come out from your piece and other pieces that continue to trickle out between Jones and Goodell, to get the cat back into the bag? I mean, can you picture a scenario where Goodell and Jones are back on solid ground?
I don't know if I can. And you know what? I'm not so sure that Kraft is entirely back on solid ground with Roger Goodell, despite, you know, what we saw after that Patriots comeback against the Falcons in the Super Bowl. You know, Kraft has a very complicated relationship with Goodell. I know that Jonathan Kraft, his son, deals with the NFL. League office is bloated. But to your question about Jerry Jones, this feels more, even more personal than Kraft took the Deflategate. This, you know, the way Jerry Jones views this, he feels as if Ezekiel Elliott was done wrong by the league office, by this investigation that he feels is deeply flawed. And he also feels that Roger Goodell betrayed his trust, basically lied to him. You know, Jones came away with a distinct impression last May that Ezekiel Elliott was off the hook. And if you look carefully at what Jerry Jones said publicly through the summer, you know, when training camp opened in Oxford, California, Jerry Jones told the press, Ezekiel Elliott's going to be cleared. There's nothing to this domestic violence stuff. I have no doubt in my mind that he's going to be on the field every game this season. He said, Jones said the same thing in Canton, Ohio, when he was inducted into the Hall of Fame. And just a few days after that, he had to eat crow publicly. And I think he also told members of his family and people inside the Cowboys organization that there was nothing to worry about. So this is egg on his face in a very public way, and I'm not so sure Jerry Jones is going to walk away from that as easily as Kraft might have.
It's an amazing story. You can find it, ESPN, the magazine. He is Don Van Natta, Jr. Keep up the great work. Really appreciate the time and the takes, and we'll do it again down the road. Thank you, Don.
Appreciate it, fellas. Have a good one.
There he is. Don Van Natta, Jr. on Goodell v. Jones.